Hit Breakfast Show. This is the Alan and Carly Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. We were just chatting off air. You know what I'm going to say on the podcast? I don't give a...
Yeah.
So Psychic Alison Maiden, who we get on every day, Wednesday. Jeez, I'm losing my mind. We have a bit of a chat with her on and off air. She's a bit of fun banter. I like to kind of like have a bit of fun with her as well because obviously a bit of a skeptic I am. And she gives it right back. So I really do enjoy her as a person. She just casually, as we're like, all right, well, Alison, thanks so much for that. You're awesome. See you later. We'll chat next week. She just goes, oh, Alan, quickly before we go, just letting you know, like, I'm just getting a bit of a reading about you. I'm like, oh, yeah? And she goes, yeah. Like, what did she say? Like, about around my belly button?
She said, I'm picking up on a hernia.
Around my belly button.
Belly button.
And then, bye. What the?
Yeah, like, anyone that's had a hernia knows they're no joke. They're not fun. But they should not be left alone, Alan. So you got a doctor's appointment to attend to.
I'm not. And that's, and here's the thing. As a skeptic, here's the thing, right? I either go to my doctor and go, excuse me, I just saw my doctor yesterday to get some renewal and prescription stuff. So it would be a purposely made appointment.
Yeah.
And they're not bulk billing anymore. So that's cost me like $20. So I'm going to go in there and say, hey, doc. And they go, hey, Alan. So a psychic told me that I've got to get you to look at my belly button because I could have a hernia. Now, here's the thing, bud. If I don't do it and I die, she's right.
Well, look, if it's me personally, I'm not taking my chances. I'm going to the doctor.
I can't win.
Maybe you could just say, which is, don't say the psychic thing to the doctor.
What do I say? I can't pretend I have a symptom because then she's going to be like, oh, no.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Just Google symptoms and say, oh, I've had a funny feeling around my belly button.
No, because I don't.
And actually, you know how you can tell? Maybe press on your stomach.
I just did. I mean, I haven't left my belly button with my hand. I'm literally fingering my belly button as we've been talking.
And your belly button's not.
It's normal.
It's normal. I think. Do you feel okay?
No, I'm angry and stressed.
I would just get it checked out just in case.
You have a brain aneurysm before
Maybe
I ever.
You're going to get a hernia from the fact that you think you've got a hernia. God. That is one way to induce a hernia.
Don't call up when we do it anymore. Like,
but anyway, please go to the doctors.
I'll go next month when I'm meant to. I swear to God, if I die from this, I'm going to be so pissed off. Swear to God. Alpha Bucks, your letter is B for Bravo for Thursday. An answer, give me, starting with the letter B, a plant.
Bromelia.
Sure. I don't know. I've never heard of
that.
I
just said a word, and okay. I think that's a word. Or bougainvillea is what I was trying to say.
Bamboo is what I've got on my sheet. Or banksia. So
plant. Hold on.
Just say bamboo.
Bromelia plant. Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, cool. You can say that. Just say bamboo. It's quicker.
Actually, no, it's not. It's bromelia, I think.
My stomach hurts.
Yeah, I think you got to go, mate.
I just... What a day. I just don't even know. I'm just... Enjoy the podcast. Who knows if I'll be here for tomorrow's. Alison does, but I don't. Enjoy the podcast. Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly, and not since watching The Chase the other afternoon have I been yelling at the TV screen so much than I did on the big finale of Hunted on Channel 10. And we have some winners, Carly, that are joining us on the show.
Yeah, we do. We have Rob and Staffy joining us. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Now, Staffy, it's worth mentioning, as much as it's a pleasure to have you on the line, we do want to focus on our WA winner, Rob.
Absolutely. Rob. Home.
Congratulations.
Look, I've had to do all the Victorian stuff, so, yeah.
Well, you're flying that WA flag now. Well done on representing WA. And, you know, as a fellow biggish guy, well done for representing us so well.
I know, like being underestimated throughout that based on my size. And like then, you know, watching it back, it just makes the prize so much sweeter, you know?
Absolutely.
Speaking of watching it back, obviously you did all the right moves, but there were times where it came very close. When you were watching it back with your families and friends, were they heckling certain things that you did?
Oh, absolutely. They were like, why are you using your phone? I had my clients all up there about it, just like, I can't believe you used the phone. I was like, guys, strategy. There was a reason why, but you just won't know.
My favorite part about it is you do real, like, tactical stuff, you know? You're sitting there in stealth. You've, you know, put a wig on. You changed your whole look. But the whole time, there's a cameraman right there aimed right at you. I'm like, you can be as cool as you want, but there is someone right there filming you.
Oh, yeah, literally. I was like, mate, hide.
Well, speaking of the cameraman, was there times where he almost got you caught?
Well, I think this comes up a lot, and people will have to realise that if the hunters are close enough to see the cameraman, you've been hunted for reasons unrelated to the cameraman. Mm-hmm. And hunters also have cameramen, so this is like a bit of a double positive disadvantage situation.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about the prize money. $100,000. Now, that's splitting between you two guys, but then are you two both going to split it again? So, at the end of the day, you're all getting $25,000 each. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely not. No. No, absolutely. Like, you know, we went on this journey with our best friends and they worked just as hard as we did to get there. Some more than others.
Rob, why are you crossing your fingers behind your back?
Rob was
sand and stuff his eyes so that he wouldn't get on the helicopter, but hey.
Well, that's what I thought. I was surprised you didn't throw a boot.
I had to jam it open.
You guys essentially have managed to find a loophole in the law. So are you going to take these skills and maybe use them for evil now?
Absolutely.
I think you've just given us away to the authorities.
Look, I can do a consultation price.
Yeah, not wrong. Actually, and we found out as well that you actually cut the hair of our producer's dad. So if you felt there was one really English person trying to get a real hard scoop, that was probably him, and we do apologise.
I love it.
Working on our behalf.
Well done, winning Hunted, and we're already looking for season two. Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Awesome. Thank you.
What is your weak, loose connection to the Commonwealth Games currently going on right now? And we want to know, we'll take the flimsiest connection, Carly.
Yeah. Or we'll take the strongest.
Maybe
yourself competed in the games, or maybe you once attended a wedding with someone that competed in the games.
So the scale is, you once bumped into someone that was at the Commonwealth Games, two, you were someone that competed at the Commonwealth Games, right? Yeah. In saying that, I'd love closer to the bottom scale. We'll take it. Let's start. Lindsay in Albany, good morning.
Good morning.
What is your Commonwealth Games connection?
So I'm from Manchester, and in 2002, when the Commonwealth Games were on there, I was managing a bar which was right next to the Athletes' Village, and my best friend who was working with me at the time ended up having a one-night stand with the guy that won the 100-meter sprint from Trinidad and Tobago.
That's great.
Wow, that's a connection. Now, you did say one-night stand, so love didn't blossom after that night?
No, but all the athletes used to, once they'd competed, they used to come into the bar and let their hair down and have a good time, and it was just a really good environment to work in.
Thank you, Lindsay. I'm just curious where he got his fastest time on the track. We leave it. Thank you, Lindsay. Let's go to Shannon in Geraldton. What is your Commonwealth Games connection?
Hi. My uncle used to, he actually boxed for New Zealand at the Commonwealth Games back in the 80s.
Oh, that's good.
That's a great connection.
Family connection.
Now, did he win a medal?
I'm not actually sure, but I know in the Oceania Games he came home with a medal.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
the Oceania Games, now we're getting really neat.
That's good. That's our topic for tomorrow, Shannon, so make sure you're calling back then. Thank you. Let's wrap it up. Jill in Point Sampson, your Commonwealth Games connection.
I was a volunteer at the hockey venue the Gold Coast.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Games.
That's
Is that
right.
when they had that big koala as the mascot?
Kangaroo.
Yeah.
Oh, did you get to meet the koala. You didn't get to meet the koala?
No.
Oh, do you have any merch still?
Unfortunately. I do. I do. I've actually got my shirt and my pants coming with me now, travelling, as my fishing gear.
Means a lot.
Means a lot.
Jill, thank you. And thanks to everyone. Good to hear that we've got some Commonwealth game connections going on in the state.
But, Alan, there is a term that's going around at the moment called quiet quitting.
Quiet quitting.
Yeah. So what happened kind of, I guess, at the start of the pandemic is a lot of people reassessed their work-life kind of balance. Mm-hmm, and obviously a lot of work from home was put in place.
A little taste of freedom.
Yeah. And being trusted by an employee to do your work at your own time.
Yep.
But then what followed was what was called the Great Resignation, when people were forced to go back to the office and it didn't suit them. So we did see in mass numbers people like quitting their 9-to-5s.
I think we're still seeing it as well, because there's been such a demand now for workers, and all of a sudden the employees, as opposed to the employers, have the power.
Yeah, totally.
In most departments.
Yeah, in most.
Not at this job.
But what has kind of followed after the Great Resignation is a new term that people are kind of getting on board with, and it's called quiet quitting. So what it is where you don't necessarily quit your job, but what you do is you just put in boundaries. So it's basically that's not my job.
Yep.
Now, which in a workplace, that is like the worst thing you can say. That's like blasphemy.
Wording it like that is, but I think the ideology behind it is fine.
Yeah, well, that's what people are saying is they're kind of taking a more balanced approach with their work. So what quiet quitting is more just, you're not necessarily quitting your job, you're just quitting the hustle that comes along with certain
jobs.
It's
almost like a quiet protest, in a sense.
Yeah.
It's basically saying, especially like, and I'm sure a lot of people know what we're talking about, when you walk around and you're the hardest one working, and you just go like, what's this person doing? What's that person doing? Like, why am I doing all this stuff? And you go, you know what? I'm doing above and beyond my job and what I actually am meant to do. Stuff it. I'm just going to do my job and go home. I think a lot of people out there is probably doing that.
Yeah, Alan, sounds like you are.
I absolutely.
You quite quit years ago.
I've quit. I invented the term. Absolutely. So get around me and trust me, you'll be happier for it.
Alan, today's deep dive is on Netflix. So obviously we know it is a streaming service,
sure,
but they were so much more before that. So let's dive in.
Are you talking about their share prices?
Well, let's start where it all began in 1997. So there were two software engineers by the name of Reed Hastings and Mark Rudolph. Now, they were actually inspired, so you think 97, by the blockbuster video rental industry. So what was going on at the time is one of the blokes, Mark, was frustrated that the market was not customer-friendly, in his opinion, and they were charging late fees. He hating that. He wanted to change it, so hence then came Netflix, because they saw an opportunity to do rentals differently by renting out DVDs by mail. So in April of 1998, they kind of launched into what at the time was a VHS-dominated market.
Yep.
So get this, only 2% of American households owned a DVD player at that time. So if you look at a business model, you're thinking, why would they have gone with DVDs? So what they actually did was they tried to mail a VHS out and found it was way too bulky, too hard. So then they ended up taking a gamble and trying a DVD, which was the lesser known product at the time. And it worked so much better, so much easier to post. So they took a punt, and they actually took the right punt, because it didn't take long for 95% of households to get themselves a DVD player. And that was kind of around the time they got it together and launched Netflix. So it kind of worked together seamlessly. The very first business model was to let people rent out movies by selecting it online.
I remember.
And having it delivered to their door.
I was one of them.
Oh, were you,
Alan? I was. I remember I got a really scratched up version of What a Girl Wants.
And at the time, as you would have known, that was kind of the only thing to be able to do that at the time, unless you wanted to walk into a bricks and mortar store.
Absolutely.
At the time, the bricks and mortar stores like Blockbuster were their biggest competitor. And at this time, they were kind of doing okay for themselves, but they weren't absolutely breaking the bank.
Yeah.
Blockbuster did start to kind of take notice of them, but they never actually took them seriously. And in fact, in 2010, it was Netflix that kind of bankrupted them or contributed to, but it actually didn't need to be this way, because in 2000, the Netflix CEO and founder, Reed Hastings, actually approached Blockbuster about a partnership. And at the time, the CEO literally looked in his face and laughed.
Wow.
So obviously Netflix got the last laugh there.
Yep.
And then in 2007, they introduced a streaming service called Watch Now, which allowed members to instantly watch television shows and movies on personal computers. Now, this was actually a huge shift for Netflix at the time, because you got to think, 2007, this was groundbreaking stuff. And the DVD side of things was actually going quite well. So they were definitely taking a bit of a gamble. When the service launched, it only had 1,000 titles and it only worked on PC.
Yep.
So you had to watch a movie on your desktop computer, probably in a family room somewhere.
But like 2007, my internet was rubbish, so I had no chance.
By the end of 2007, though, Netflix had signed up 7.5 million subscribers. They were up 20% from the previous year. And this is where they kind of deviated away from the DVD business model. So they kind of had a one or the other option. It wasn't all inclusive. And that's when they really honed in on the streaming service side of things. So in 2008, it became available on Apple products, such as like iPhones and iPads. And then that's when they launched overseas outside of America. They launched in Canada. And in 2015, they launched in Australia. And that was their full-scale streaming service. And by that time, They were doing original content. They were being nominated for Emmys. They were a huge, actually, they were the biggest player and still are in the streaming field. Cut to now, they have approximately 22 million global paid memberships. So it's pretty crazy to think that they started by mailing out DVDs to people and now they're the biggest streaming service with 22 million global memberships.
Great deep dive, and it doesn't even account all the people mooching off everyone else's accounts. Good stuff. Talking middle names, even naming your kid just in general, I imagine is not an easy option.
Oh, so much pressure.
Especially if you're a teacher, because they hate, like, there's like, just like, oh, let's call him like Damien. Nah, can't call Damien. I had a kid called Damien who ate paste. It's like, oh, well, let's call the kid Alan. Nah, there's a radio guy called Alan. I hate him.
I will say, if I do decide to have children, I already have my name picked out.
Alan Aldworth.
No. Oh. So if I have a girl, I'm calling her Lucy because me and my nan loved I Love Lucy growing up.
Okay, cool. I really would have thought it would have been Carly Jr. Well, that sounds like Carl's Jr.
It does, actually.
That's not
bad. Maybe. Well, there's a boy's name. But you know what's interesting is I decided on Lucy forever. It's always been Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
But then my best friend said to me all those years ago, what if you meet a Lucy you don't like?
So true.
Let me tell you, I met a Lucy on the weekend, actually. Every single Lucy I have ever met, and I've met a lot of them, they've all been absolutely delightful.
Well, there you go. Lucy could be a name.
So if your name's Lucy, you're a delightful person.
That's good to know. If you want a ton of middle names, then you could do what this couple did. They were trying to figure out a middle name for their kid. You have a middle name. You're Anne, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, Carly Ann Porch. Alan John Aldworth, going with a straight white man name there.
We had the most basic of basic nicknames.
Compared to this kid, we certainly do as well. 27 middle names is what ended up happening for half a second there. They asked their friends to each choose a middle name that the kid's going to go by.
By the way, who's got 27 friends that they trust to name their kid?
Oh, yeah, good call. Yeah, no. So 27 is what they eventually landed on, but they decided after, there's been a lot of chat on the internet about it and whatnot, they decided they're going to let the kid choose their own middle name from the 27 that are in the list, or 13 that the guy actually remembered to write
down. Like, when's the kid choosing? Like, at what age?
I don't know. But
because you don't want it to be too young, because they'll probably go with the most extreme
one. Yeah, I'd be like Alan Power Ranger Aldworth or something, or Alan, like, fire.
You know what? I do like the idea of having a bit of fun with your middle name.
Well, Bailey doesn't have a middle name. We can come up with one for her. Ooh. Our producer.
Oh, yeah.
Bailey Producer. That's not a bad middle name. Middle name can be a producer.
I thought Bailey was her middle name. Was Producer Bailey.
Oh, that actually makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, so Producer's not her first name?
No, now that you say it, it does make sense. She does always
sign
off.
So Bailey is actually her middle
name. There you go. Producer Bailey. It all makes sense now.
That was the Alan and Carly podcast.